This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. It has been my deep pleasure to serve as Sonoma County's Poet Laureate for the years 2014 to 2016. My Poet Laureate project was called Digging Our Poetic Roots, and with that project, I sent out many essays on the craft of poetry for the first year, over the first year of my term. And during the second year, I collected poems submitted by Sonoma County poets, mostly based on writing prompts that I had sent out at the same time the mini essays were sent. On August 29th of 2015, we celebrated the kickoff reading of an anthology, which is the culmination of this Poet Laureate project, called Digging Our Poetic Roots, Poems from Sonoma County. I recorded that reading, which took place at the Sebastopol Center for the Arts, because this was the reading that most of the poets in the anthology were able to show up for and read their work. The reading took over an hour, so I won't have time to air the entire thing on tonight's program. So what I plan to do is air a good portion of the reading tonight, and then I'll pick up where we left off and air the remainder of the reading from Digging Our Poetic Roots in November next month. So right now, let's just move on to the Sebastopol Center for the Arts. August 29th, 2015, celebrating Digging Our Poetic Roots, Poems from Sonoma County. Good evening, everybody. Can you all hear me okay? Yeah, okay. Welcome to the Word Temple Poetry Series. As you know, this is a very, very special occasion. My name is Catherine Hastings. I'm the host of Word Temple. And we are here tonight to celebrate the wonderful project, my Poet Laureate project, Digging Our Poetic Roots, Poems from Sonoma County. And this anthology full of wonderful poems written by Sonoma County poets. So first of all, a big hand for everybody who's in this book. I want to thank all of you for coming tonight. I always underestimate how many people are going to show up. This is knocking me over. So thank you so much. I also want to thank everyone connected to the Sebastopol Center for the Arts. If it was not for them, we would not have this anthology, most likely. They did some terrific fundraising, and so we have this book. So please give it up for the Sebastopol Center for the Arts. Okay. There are 43 poets in the book, a total of 84 pages. The poets are from as far north as Cloverdale, as far east as Sonoma, as far west as you can get in Sonoma County, and as far south as Petaluma. So the whole county is really represented very well, I think. So let's see. We have poets in the anthology that have published books before, and we have poets in the anthology where this is their very first publication. And so that makes it really special to me. We have poets who have been writing for decades and some who just started for this project. And as I say in the introduction of the book, some poets are in that age group that are commonly called seniors. And some poets in the book are a different kind of senior. We have someone who was a senior at Montgomery High School at the time that he submitted a poem that is in this book. And I'm especially excited about this person because I've been watching him for the last few months writing, and his work is just going like this. It's just going like this, really incredible. So I had help from three contributing editors in selecting the poems for the anthology. We have James Laughlin Award winner Jennifer K. Sweeney. She lives in Southern California. She'll be coming to Word Temple in the spring to read from her book. New York poet Lee Slonimsky was one of the contributing editors. And San Francisco poet and co-editor of the literary journal Ambush Review, that is Patrick Cahill. He is the one contributing editor who could be here tonight. So, Patrick, please stand up and take a hand. Where are you? There he is. Okay, thank you, Patrick. Each contributing editor wrote generous and very well-deserved blurbs for the back of the anthology. And as much as I would love to read each of those blurbs right now, we don't have time. It's precious tonight with all of these readers. We have a lot of poets lined up to read. Some will take less than a minute, and some will take more than that. But because of the large number of poets reading, I'm going to call up three people at a time. So just come on up and step up to the mic, read your poem, and go sit down and enjoy the rest of the evening. Okay? So groups of three. And I'm just going to start right now, and I'm going to ask the audience to hold your applause until the end of each group of three. Okay? We are going to start off with our Poet Laureate Emerita, Terry Arrett, Patrick Cahill, and Michelle Wing. Please come on up and read your work. Woo! One poem each from everyone tonight.
Good evening. Such a pleasure to be here and see all you familiar faces, and grateful to be a part of this amazing Poet Laureate project that Catherine has guided us through. And the poem that I'm going to be reading, if you care to follow along, is on page 11. It was based on the mini lecture that Catherine wrote and presented on ekphrasis, which is writing in response to a work of art. I was fortunate to be teaching a workshop on just such a genre of poetry writing while Chester Arnold had his exhibit of paintings and multimedia work on the subject of trees. And one of his paintings was called Two Tramps in Mud Time, which I think most of you would recognize as a Robert Frost poem. And the painting didn't seem to have anything particular directly related to the poems. I had to do a little bit of digging around to discover the connection, which I hope you'll get here. This is called Object in Living After Two Tramps in Mud Time by Chester Arnold. One, it's clear from the wet whiteness of the grain how fresh the splitting was. So sudden, the metal blade searing through the core with a crack, a scream, silence. See how the man stands alone, leaning a little into the chill autumn wind. The woman at a distance gazes off at the blue horizon where winter is already gathering, pushing the edge of the world into white. Two, when the poet told of mud time, he saw only two strangers, not lovers made strange by the blow of some terrible cleaving. He knew, of course, how grief can hew, how final the leaving, the pain of severed roots. But he was happy in his work and happier still to hand the axe blade over to others more in need. Besides setting aside the griefs behind him or the ones ahead, he could proclaim, "My object in living is to unite." Three, this wood, too bitter green perhaps for this year's fire, may on some morning of a January frost send up another little cry, as wood sometimes does, cracking and smoking on the fire grate. Perhaps the man and woman sitting close will hear the echo of a pain once raw and lean together to catch the warm exhalation of sun locked in the memory of the wood's core.
Many thanks to Catherine for putting together this wonderful anthology and for the Art Center and for all of you people who have showed up. Sure. I'm going to read two short poems that are in the anthology. These are fairly personal poems, which I don't often write, but so I'll give it a try. The first is called Time Zones. Those scars under the soft cloth, the phantom cancers, cryptogram. Another you covered in red, ochre, green, and blue. Upon its discovery somewhere in China, they gave it a name. Crowned Dragon of the Five Colored Rocks. The tribes fed on tubers, blood, bulbs, and roots, plotted the inclinations of matter. Our fields of solace and sensation, where green ferns layered the slope, and white moths among the white flowers of dust. Scarred language, scarred layers of sedimentary language, fireflies and timbered joys, those dunes of unknown material. You stood on one of Saturn's moons. And the second is called El Autobus. Past the haze, out there, east of us, low mountains adrift along a longitude of loss. Like us, Corazon. The bus along a narrow strip of shoulderless road. 21 degrees north latitude. Moist air, the sun stirring its molecules. La Penita, south toward an absence, lassitude. Airways stirring a lover's song of lament. Una mujer, un niña, next to me, where you would be, Corazon. That passionate voice, lost in another incomprehensible language. 105 degrees west longitude, location, location, location. A ghost's lament. Do ghosts, Corazon, pass through one another, wordless, like the rest of us? A narrow strip of blacktop, threading its coordinates. Degrees, seconds, minutes, hours. The bewitchment of time. El tiempo embustero. Past the haze, the mountains, drifting off. Like us, Corazon mio.
This was written as a response to Catherine's prompt to write a cutaway poem where you take another author's work and extract words from it and create something new. So the basis of it is Mary Oliver's Owl's essay from Blue Pastures, and it's called First Gardens. The great snakes sitting in dusky yards, peaceful. I have found them. Take caution at twilight. I know this. When the perfect is terrible, the glory more terrible still. I hear it resounding its song like stones at the edge of the world.
Okay, the next three poets coming up are Janine Cannon, George Stenger, and Rebecca Petrescu. I hope I pronounced that right. I did, good, come on up.
on earth, morning, so quiet. I place my hand on woven carpet. The lambs gave their wool. Underneath the floor, the oaks gave their bark. Below, cement. The land gave her sands. Good morning, dear. I greet the living earth.
Hi, I'm George Stenger. I'm reading this poem for my granddaughter, Margaret, who's joining us from New York. We've recently spent some time near Lake Tahoe, which enters into this. Tonight, this fall. Tonight, this full moon's light, filtered by filmy clouds, broken by stolid oak, casts but a dim light upon me, and I cast but a dim shadow upon the earth. Such are the memories of childhood, a thousand memories. Thunderheads race toward me as Tahoe's breaking waves race to shore. I ride these waves in an inner tube, over and over, out to the break, in to the shore, until, teeth chattering, lips blue, I run into the cabin, rush into the hot shower. This is what I remember, this moment. Hot water hitting me like needles, warming me, holding me safe. Never since have I felt such safety, such warmth, until tonight, in full moon's light, filtered and broken as it is.
I'm Rebecca Petrasciu. This is Ungrounded. My friend, who knows such things, says my head's about a foot above my body. I say it came loose because of poems, or mourning doves that nest on sconces in easy reach of every hungry crow in town, because of high clouds and suicides, cancers and quotas, unpainted walls. She says I should bring my head back down to rest on my shoulders, assuming they're in place. I say, but my feet are above ground too, nor are my ears listening attached to my errant head. What to do? More poems, my detached lips say, from my unmoored face. Poems and birds that lay where they will, clouds like waves of hair on a disembodied skull of sky. Death showing up early for his gig, but playing anyway. And walls that list and fall before the paint on them has dried.
David Madgalin, Jody Hoddle, and David Beckman.
Is there nowhere to begin? No statement. I can, nor care, to make plainly, clearly, nothing to say simply, of, to, and for myself. Is it to be in the words of the other? I find my own words. Can I hope to distinguish self from the other? If so, how? Are the words to come from other poets? Is it to be in your words? Am I to find my message? Are the words to come from newspapers, magazines? Is the news a source of any inherent meaning? Or am I to rearrange and re-image? Am I to find my words in the language of the marketplace? Give the lie to politicians and propagandists. Seek to reclaim what they have stolen. Are my words to be something overheard on a train, a bus, in the street? Someone talking to a person far away. Are they to be words in a different tongue? Is it only by looking at something and calling it a different name that I can speak? Might it not be a babble of tongues, incomprehensible to others, I alone can decipher? If I dare to give it a name, is it not mine? Am I to return to poetry as song, not on the page for one, but to be heard by all? Sibella, where will these words come from? It is sexual, not pornographic, sexual, not romantic nor erotic, to reaffirm love is love. Is it not here I begin? To reassemble the fragments, not only the fragments of others, but of myself. Here in this darkened cave, alone with you, your confusion, my despair. I believe in you, if no longer the deity who has forsaken us. I believe in you, if no longer our desecrated shrine. Sibella, give me words.
I'm sure some of you have, Jody Hoddle. I'm sure some of you have seen the war memorial near the City Hall in Santa Rosa. And this piece was written in response to the call by Catherine Furnick Frastic piece. War Memorial, Santa Rosa, California, 2008. That's an important date for this piece. After the memorial designed by Mario Uribe. Five marble columns stand in salute to Sonoma County's fallen, descending in height like piano keys, striking a minor chord. Names of the dead engraved in stone, in memory. On the first column, World War I, then World War II spilling onto the second. Korea, Vietnam, row after row. The Gulf War's single name, space awaiting those from Iraq. The final column stands blank. If you go there now, you'll see that more names have been added since then.
My name is David Beckman, and this is the first of the two poems that I have in the anthology. It's called Boy in Spring. It's a look back at my teenage years, or more properly, an imagined version thereof. Boy in Spring. With rain kissing hypergrass, slugs slow writing silver mini histories on concrete walkway, cat stalking robin behind lilac bush. He oils his new Schwinn 3-speed in the garage and plans on winning the Tour de France year after next. Max swings in on his new Western Flyer, red handlebars, aluminum chain guard, black racing seat. And they accelerate side by side down Halleck Street, catching puddles' shallow edges. Clouds yield to sun and scent of forsythia as he passes Max on downhill bricks, then swerves to Pam's white clabbered house. Skirts her mother's rose bushes, and on the far side catches her gravel driveway, powering his rear wheel. Behind him, Max goes tentative, and wheel snags in loose stones, grinding the Flyer to shutdown. Winner, he yells back and sees Pam, tight flowered short shorts, green halter top, hair yellow silk, leaping from her house, eyes like shooting stars, skin glowing as if from within, as she runs toward him with a laugh like a piano trill. He lifts her under his bike seat, and they ride for Allen Park, where they wind through hyacinth and nesting water birds, then unbike and tiptoe toward the lake, where the lake, ruffled, wind-scorched, and deep, awaits.
What a book. What a book already. Okay, our next three poets are Sandy East Oak, Jean Wong, and Thomas Zimmer.
I'm Sandy East Oak. This poem is called River. In the dark forest, rivers roar, cutting canyons through the trees. Jagged conifer cliffs soar and fall to soft willow knees. Obstacles of log and stone slow the water's downward dash. Swirling pools where eggs are sown and baby salmon glint and flash. Under the willows, a curving shore eats soft ripples from the breeze. Boatmen cunningly explore quiet eddies at their ease. A heron balances alone, ignores a turtle's sudden splash. She hunts beyond the shallow zone where baby salmon glint and flash. Such loveliness grew long before the centuries of human squeeze. Now we struggle to restore pristine rivers such as these. Where the firs and willows have grown lovely, thick, tangled, and brash, cool, clear waters purl and drone, so baby salmon glint and flash. The willows playfully adore the solemn beauty eagle sees. Where water sings a godly tone, the baby salmon glint and flash.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you're listening to Word Temple on KRCB 91.1 FM. We're listening to the celebration of Digging Our Poetic Roots, Poems from Sonoma County. This is an anthology which is the culmination of my Poet Laureate project. The kickoff reading took place at the Sebastopol Center for the Arts on August 29, 2015. So far, we have heard Terry Arrett, Patrick Cahill, Michelle Wing, Janine Cannon, George Stenger, Rebecca Petrashu, David Madgalin, Jody Hoddle, David Beckman, and Sandy Eastoak. Next up are Jean Wong and Thomas Zimmer, and then I'll introduce many more poets, so stay tuned. Here now is Thomas Zimmer.
Thank you so much. This poem was written around 2 years ago. It was one of my first attempts at poetry, and glad to be here today. It's called Of Life. Let us speak of life, of years of sadness and confusion, of endless wandering, of lonely dark nights spent in desolate, unfriendly towns, sleeping in train stations with cold, deathly silence, of misery and depression, cigarette burns and tears in jails and clinics and wards, of constant alienation and a deep-seated hatred, of suicidal thoughts with scissors and ropes and bridges, anguish dwelling on frozen roads searching for the lost connection, of consciousness and unconsciousness, of drugs, of drinks, of cigarettes, of barren trees and lifeless empty cities, and scars and burns and red faces and heartbreak and a heartache, of a constant nothingness clouded with soulless fights for lost and hopeless causes, wondering why live pained, why live? Live to sing, to dance, to praise, to smile another smile for sunny afternoons with wine and books of love and beauty. Live to discover jazz and passion and creation, an excitement that can't be contained. To live without restriction for sex and love and friendship. Live for expression and understanding, to fill our wonderful existence of being truly alive, Oh, to be alive, to breathe, to feel all there is to feel, and to be all there is to be. Praise life, the great wondrous perhaps, the unknown, the unexpected, the imperfect, the trials and tribulations defined by the struggles to understand why live.
My name is Jean Wong, and the poem I'm about to read is about my experience of walking into a room and seeing an old friend that I'm no longer talking to. Close encounters. Your face flashed with suffering. Red poppies, clustered, fallen petals rotted into paint. Silence sits on a line of time. Memory sways. Scarlet bitterness. The scrape of a chair. Something leans, almost a murmur, a gesture. Slivers of ice on bare branches. A glass-eyed bird lights, flicks, is gone.
Thank you so much. All right, who's next? How's everybody doing out there? Good? Yay, good, 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 good. All right, we have Dave Setter, Andrea Granahan, and Gary McLaughlin.
Okay, thank you, Catherine. I'm Dave Setter, and the poem I'm reading is Sentries Among Broken Rock. When the wind blows hard here, angels take cover. Maybe that's how you came to me, through cracks in these former barracks walls, where I trace knots and gnarls and write my poems. Tonight, the moon strikes the ocean until it gleams like a shield. The sergeants and corporals are gone, but artists take their place as sentries among this broken rock. I wasn't built for war or to agitate peace. I'm strictly a dreamer of clouds and comets, but science has let me down, unable to predict orbits. Tonight, winter overtakes the willows and washes away their gowns, our syllables. I don't doubt the slingshot force of the universe. Written into the sky, we circle, but never really speak, you and I.
Hi, I'm Andrea Granahan, and I was lucky enough as a child to have a family farm. And those of you who didn't have that, this is your shopping list for what you have to do if you want one. It's called The Farm Inventory, with a nod to Jacques Prévert, who wrote a poem called Inventory. Farm inventory. One flatbed truck, three trunks filled with old books in a secret room, 12 ropes of sausage hanging in the attic, 20 cows, 6 kittens, 3 dozen jars of peach preserves, and 2 cousins, one wicked. One giant apple strudel, several dishes of fried okra and green tomatoes with bacon. One rooster running about with its head cut off. 6 dozen pair of baby booties, neatly crocheted with ribbon ties. 3 feed sack dresses by the sewing machine. And one fat Austrian grandma who is a thief. 3 tractors, 1 car, 1 garage, aromatic with oil and chickens. 1 fig tree, 2 kumquat bushes. 1 pipe filled with apple tobacco, 2 cornfields, 1 palm tree, several thousand lightning bugs, and Grandpa in his overalls. 38 hens, 1 more rooster than needed, 2 old dogs, 2 holes in the outhouse, 1 Sears catalog, 1 green porch swing, several peeper frogs, 1 lilac bush, 5 pecan trees in the front yard, and 5 loud ants, 3 divorced and 1 still courting. One pine forest, 8 lumberjacks, 1 lunchbox full of bread pudding, 1 rifle, 6 squabs, and 1 large pot of soup. 2 dozen okra plants, 2 rows of tomatoes, 1 basket of butter beans waiting to be shelled, and 9 people sitting on the porch at night swatting mosquitoes. 1 summer day a year long, 1 hot night full of bugs and frogs, 1 flick gun, 1 outside shower under the stars, 1 morning learning to use a wringer washer, 7 climbs up the magnolia tree down the red dirt road, 100 evenings cutting quilt squares in the dining room, 7 loud thunderstorms on the green porch swing, 1 television with wrestling matches in a dark room, 1 little girl with 2 pigtails swallowing it all.
Good evening. My name's Gary McLaughlin, and the poem I'm going to read is called Wind. And for those of you that aren't reading along, it was inspired by a painting that I had seen 2 or 3 years ago at the de Young Museum in San Francisco by the French artist André Jorin, and the name of the painting was Spring Wind. Wind. How do you paint the wind? The branches that bend in supple resistance, the leaves jangled into blurriness, shimmering. There, a man with head down, face distorted by the effort, leaning into the invisible rush, intent on not being shoved rudely backward by the insistent force. The visible world restless and trembling in Persephone's rough embrace.
Three more poets coming? No, there are a lot more poets coming, but the next 3 are Maya Kosla, Nancy Cavers Doherty, and Kay Webb.
Thank you, Catherine, for who's made it possible for a gathering like this to stay in time. I'm Maya Kosla. I'll read Giganteum, the Redwood. To think of you as miles of you, not just as colossus guarding a canyon bereft of the rest, as highways of sky streaked with soliloquy, or runlets sweeping, seeping down crypts of time, their slopes steeped in peelings, as unseen waters amassed in basaltic goblets, each a pool balanced on a subterranean table whose circumference is greater than a city's. To think of you as story unuttered, as stowage enclosed by root claw, as clarity filtered, light shoots angling in, chopped into sliver and photon, eaten, sugars building cone and bark, dragon-tailed branch. As vessel gathering rain and wax wings, dripping over curtains of insects, hovering close. To comprehend your single status as hope beyond remnant, as assemblage shadows many stories tall, cooling wet gravel, as Amazons in conference, recalling silences before Aztec fires, metal and flight. To think of you as axioms of the vertical world's slow spin.
Good evening. Thank you, Catherine, and all of you for being here, my family and friends. I'm going to start with the first poem that I have in the book, and it's Mona Lisa of the Mountains, and the epigraph is Lake Almanar, California. And we go up there every year to summer. We have since the children have been little, and we just were up there the other week, so I have Lake Almanar on my mind, so I want to read this to you. Mona Lisa of the Mountains. Fishing poles, lures, I hear them talk of going to Hamilton Beach. Before dawn, breakfast rush in cartons and bottles, and rattling laughter in metal boxes. Sunscreen and tackle, rebates, licenses, something like this I hear. They will leave the cabin in yellow slickers the same as yesterday and today and forever. I gaze from my shelf beside the trophy plate of flying trout and ballerina in powder blue. Oddly at home, I am all triangles, the most perfect of compositions. Even here, reproduced, edges frayed, amidst Sierra pines and their wind song. The evening scramble of squirrels up and down the bark, so noisy. I sometimes mistake it for rain, tap, tap. A woodpecker breaks a reverie. Really, how did I come to be here? I am told there are more lakes in my eyes than volcanoes. What warmth there might have been.
I'm Kay Webb, and I'm reading a poem called Carnival, and it's the imagery in the poem is taken from. The imagery comes from a novel called The Glassblower of Murano, and the novel was written by Marina Fiorato, and the images appear in the very first chapter and then are repeated again in the last chapter. Under the shadow of the campanile, a dark knife slashing through the square, the funeral gondola slices through the mists of the Canal Grande, passes the gleaming candles of the basilica, the shrine that houses the bones of Venice's shriveled saint. The prisoner of Murano hurries, masked, down winding alleys beneath a bright moon, black cloak closed over his shoulders, smells the sulfur and the silica, feels the heat of the furnace. Glass had been his life. It had been the final act, a glass dagger, a Carnivale exit, a Venetian exit. At Leonardo's throat, the iridescence of the glass heart, made by the maestra's own hand, her birthright.
Liz Brann, Fran Carbonaro, and Iris Jamal Dunkel.
I'm Fran Carbonaro. This is something I wrote about 20 years ago. It's called Fear. Blend, good girl. Disappear into the hole, round, open, perfect resonance. Make a nice sound. No edge. Disappear. Don't resist. Watch the director. Follow the cue. Surrender your body, your breath, your voice. Don't need. Don't want. Don't feel. Surrender. Sing pretty. You know how to do this. It's old hat. It's easier than you think. So don't think. Just blend. Disappear into the static. The white noise will keep you safe.
Thank you all for coming. My name is Liz Brennan, and I haven't read in Sonoma County since the Poetry on the Bus contest. That was fun. We read on a bus. My poem, the poem I'm going to read tonight is about something that happens every day, and it's on page 76. It's called Goodbye the Light. Perhaps it is quiet in the pine woods. All the trees are misted with the day's last light. A small dark bug turns on the lip of a green leaf where tiny white flowers are growing out of a damp log. Maybe as you stop at a rock by the water to watch the sunset, the evening breeze carries an aromatic elixir of pine needle, waterfall, and mossy trunk. The horizon holds open the landscape to an enveloping cloud of darkness, the precise shape and contour of the granite boulder that you are sitting on.
What an amazing room of poets. This is such an honor to get to read here. I have the amazing honor of being the caboose of the anthology, the last poem. And this is the first poem in a series of poems I've written about the Laguna de Santa Rosa. Moon over Laguna de Santa Rosa. A rueful moon drifts over Laguna de Santa Rosa. River that flows both ways, carrying history heavy on its back. Those who first recorded what they saw were in awe of the wooded plain, ripe with water and animal life. But change was quick and drastic. First, the cattle ranchers cleared and burned the live oaks, leaving their blackened bodies to girdle the golden tule fields. Then the gold rush increased the price of game. White and gray geese, ducks, deer, antelope, elk, even the few grizzlies that had survived were caught and sold on docks of the Petaluma River. The remaining oaks split and corded or reduced to charcoal. Then channels were dug to drain the cattle farms, then the sewage ponds dug and filled. Today the moon hangs low in the sky, not full, just a thin fingernail illuminating a single path back past the remaining oaks, past forgetting.
That last poet was Iris Jamal Dunkel. All right. Hanna Maggiore, Gregory Randall, and Clara Rosmarda.
I'm Hanna Maggiore, and the editors have edited this poem. So it's like I'm reading it for the first time myself. It's kind of exciting. If you want to know other parts of it, see me later. But I am reading a poem called I Have Been. I have been the spring grass on the hill. I have been a ripe blackberry that fell onto its own thorns. I have been meekness in the night. I have been a panther at the base of a tree, pacing. I have been a tear in my father's eye, have been a raucous crow, a fissure in the jolted ground, updraft of others' colorful kites have I been. A watertight jar, a sieve in an emotional sink. I've been a peepling, crying for my mother. All colors I have been. A single syllable, one note of the pentatonic scale. I've been every note of the pentatonic scale. a ship's sail at the mercy of the tempest, I have been.
Thank you again to Catherine for your deep devotion and bringing poetry to our daily lives here in Stone County for this. My name is Gregory Randall. For those of you following along in your hymnals, that's page 26. A desire for confined spaces. The yard where I grew up was chain-linked, and all play exposed and scrutinized. Were you a child there, you too would have learned to suppress certain storylines, and to pick the dark-seeded grapes that grew untrellised, to hurl them at the neighbor kids and stain their clothes. Whereas Grandma's backyard was sealed off, enclosed by pale brick walls, where no one peered in to question the characters in your dramas and how many roles you played. Going there wasn't merely an escape. It was dress rehearsal for that long departure from the place of dreaming, when the rest of life spent adjusting various costumes. The world was so concentric then. It's why I've come to overuse the words circumscribe, circumspect. Because we've since come to dwell in a paraphrased world so unconcerned with details, such as the dimensions of a grandmother's yard. And those pale brick walls were rough with crusts of mortar, alongside a red shed spotted by the arc of sprinklers. And within their confines, each pure, unbruised gardenia, every speckled apple could be charted and known, and any one hour inscribed with dark stains on vellum, as if by an early cartographer in fluttering candlelight, poring over goatskin maps, not as instruments to place you, but to remind you what was once there. Abyssinia, Patagonia, Flanders, before the latest shift in names and boundaries further erased their margins.
Hi, I'm Clara Rosemarda. Thank you, Catherine, and all of you friends and familiar faces and poets. This is a poem that I wrote in response to Robinson Jeffers' Medea. I felt it was a dangerous poem. I wanted to inquire about the madness of this character, Medea, who killed her two sons to avenge her husband. Medea's folly, and this is in her voice. They knew nothing, their minds vacant as empty rooms. They think me evil. What do they know of true passion? What do they know of loyalty? I, Princess of Colchis, I who saved Jason's life, I who bore him two sons, I would have changed the direction the wind blows if he had asked. I would have made the clouds cry on a clear day. But Jason has made his choice, and I have made mine. They may think I am deluded. They call my alchemy wicked. I do by nature what I must do. Yes, they want to strip my powers. Only dust and water will they find. Never will I let my sons live with the likes of their father, a man weak as the last light of dusk, a man drained of fuel that burns. Never will I let my sons succumb to the folly he calls his life. Tell everyone, I am the mother. I will never betray my sons. I have a lighter poem, but you can read it in the book.
That is one of the things I like about the book, is that the emotions are all over the place. The images are all over the place. It's just terrific. Okay, the next three poets are Lisa Shulman, Amy Tressel, and Julia Vos.
In that case, I'm Lisa Shulman, and the poem I'm reading is called Strange Angles, and it's for Malia McDermid. This morning, while cutting an apple with a crooked knife, I am reminded of the one-armed man in the hospital. Not a patient, but a patient visitor. Your friend, he was there as I was to say goodbye. Each time I push the bent blade through crisp flesh, it veers away on some secret journey of its own. Like the one-armed man, listing slightly in the hospital hallway, his feet taking him at a strange angle to his heart. Or like you, sharp-tongued and hell-bent on living, whose body suddenly swerved around midlife, leaving you balanced on a shining scythe. In the dim hospital room where death was paring away both fear and hope, I watched your sleeping hands, slightly cupped, as if holding a piece of ripe fruit, saving it for later.
This is Catherine Hastings, and you've been listening to the kickoff reading from Digging Our Poetic Roots, Poems from Sonoma County. We're going to end here because we don't have time for the whole reading tonight, but tune in next month when I will be airing more poems from this anthology. I'm going to close tonight's program with a poem by the late Paula Konieczny, In the Absence of Rain. In this place of no weather, to be immigrant is to be without a homonym, nicheless. We get everything off the radio in the wee hours between one small town and another. I pose a picture of glass as if it weren't just sky, devoid of soul. Music, the scratchy version we sleep through, too close to ourselves. I hope you enjoyed tonight's program. If you have any questions or comments, email me at khastings@wordtemple.com. Thanks for listening.